Investors are worried about a trade deal, or more accurately, no trade deal. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio, who's on assignment. Yesterday, after markets closed, the U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer doubled down on the president's threat to impose more tariffs on China if a trade deal isn't reached soon. The reaction from investors has been volatile the past few days. Let's bring in Lindsay Piegza, Chief Economist and Managing Director of Stifel Nicolaus & Co. Good morning.
Good morning.
Markets have been all over the place the past 2 days. What do you think is going on?
There was some earlier comments from the Trump administration posturing the possibility of a second round of tariffs, which leads market participants to maybe question whether or not we are going to, in fact, reach a trade deal with China in the near term. At the same time, this could simply be signaling that the Trump administration is willing to amp up the pressure on China in order to ensure that a trade deal is met, hence the volatility in the equity market.
So what are the actual negative consequences that markets, that investors are worried about?
If we do, in fact, see the Trump administration slap on a second round of levies, we could be talking about shaving off several tenths of a percentage point from top line GDP in the domestic economy, not to mention the negative ramifications for global growth.
Lindsay Piegza is Chief Economist and Managing Director of Stifel Nicolaus & Co. Good to talk to you.
Thank you very much.
Mexico's new president, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, has taken on oil thieves. Last year, gangs and drug cartels siphoned off about 56,000 barrels of fuel a day from the state-run oil company Pemex. That is around $3 billion of revenue a year. Now, that theft is down more than 90%. BBC correspondent Daniel Gallis joins us via Skype. Good morning.
Good morning.
What is Mexico doing differently that has been so effective?
Well, it's a question of priorities, of using the security forces to track down these gangs that are stealing fuel. And it's a tricky thing because Mexico is dotted with pipelines across the country. So it's not just one big criminal organization doing this. It's very small local gangs that are targeting these pipelines. So it's a question of numbers and investment.
Does this crackdown not risk inflaming violence? Because some of these gangs have been very overt about threatening politicians in the past who've tried to curtail their theft.
Yes, well, they are another element of the violence in Mexico, which already suffers a lot from the drug trade, from cargo theft, and all these different criminal organizations. And what a lot of these gangs are betting is that the government of Mexico won't be able to sustain this for a long periods of time. A lot of these criminal gangs don't believe that the government will actually, you know, keep fighting them, so they can just stay quiet for a bit and maybe start stealing fuel again in the coming years.
BBC South America business correspondent Daniel Gallis, thanks so much.
Thank you.
As a nonprofit news organization, Marketplace is able to do what we do every day thanks to funding from public radio stations, foundations, corporate underwriters, and listeners like you. Thank you to all the Marketplace investors who've contributed over the last year for helping keep public service journalism strong. All of us really appreciate your support.
In 2017, there were more than 1.3 million homeless students in the U.S., double a decade before that. And it's putting added pressure on schools that are responsible for identifying those students and getting them the services they need. Maine Public Radio's Robbie Feinberg takes us inside one rural school district.
Here, this box is out. You can dig through this one.
Cecilia Siriani's small office at Massabesic High School can sometimes get a bit messy. Piles of donated clothes and boxes of snacks fill cabinets and shelves. For more than a decade, a big part of Siriani's job in this district has been to identify kids and families who are homeless and help them meet basic needs.
So they're dealing with all this adult stuff. Where's my food? I have to figure out how to get home. I have to figure out I don't have warm clothing. And they're trying to just fit in and be regular kids.
Okay, so this is ready to be sent, right?
On a recent morning, Siriani sits down with a student named Savannah, who didn't want her last name used for privacy reasons. The senior ended up without a permanent place to stay last fall, she says, when after being treated badly at a foster home, she packed her belongings in trash bags and left to stay with a friend's family.
I just got sick of being unhappy, that I need to leave.
But the senior has now been forced to navigate in an adult world. She's had to figure out how to get food, health care, and transportation. She spent hours working with Sirianni and other staff on complicated college and financial aid forms, made even more complicated by her uncertain housing situation.
Like, let's say Cecilia's position never existed, and I really did have to do this on my own. I remember doing it on my own, and I'm thinking, like, what the heck?
Under the federal McKinney-Vento Homeless Assistance Act, school districts are required to have liaisons who make sure homeless students and families receive education and support. But Barbara Duffield, the executive director of Schoolhouse Connection, a nonprofit advocacy group that works on youth homelessness, says in the past, many districts haven't been aware of the prevalence of the issue or haven't had adequate funds and staff to focus on it.
But to be able to have dedicated resources such that the person can spend more of their time, that can be a challenge with limited funding.
But Duffield says that's starting to change. When lawmakers reauthorized the law in 2015, they required school districts to make homeless students more of a priority.
What I'll do is I'll scan this into my computer.
At Massabesic High School, that help has made a difference for senior Savannah. She was accepted to the University of Southern Maine and hopes to study psychology. She says she wants to improve the system so that other kids might have it a little bit easier. In York County, Maine, I'm Robbie Feinberg for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishour with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.